When we asked our listeners to tell us which Muppets were their favorites, we knew you'd all come through. And did you ever?
More than 6,000 of you cast more than 18,000 votes, and we have the results. And today, we're sharing your definitive ranking of the best Muppets. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. And today we're revealing your favorite Muppets on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Also with us from his home studio is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And of course, also here is our own Aisha Harris. Hi, Aisha.
Hello, Linda.
This is very, very exciting. And before we get started, we do want to go over a couple of the rules just so you understand what the parameters were. As we mentioned, thousands of people voted, and each person could pick up to three Muppets. It wasn't weighted for your first choice or whatever. You just got three votes for three Muppets. People voted, I am told, for over 150 different Muppets. Could I name 150 Muppets? Most definitely not. These could be any Muppet from any property or era, including The Muppet Show, Muppet Babies, Fraggle Rock, Sesame Street, Labyrinth, whatever. But they had to actually be Muppets, right? So, for example, Yoda is not a Muppet. And I know some people think he is, but a quick Google will tell you that Yoda is not a Muppet. The cast of Avenue Q, not Muppets. Human beings, not Muppets. No Jason Segel, no Tim Curry, no Michael Caine, no Charles Grodin. We also made a couple of judgment calls about how to count. We counted all variations of a Muppet character as one. So Gonzo the Great from The Muppet Show and Gonzo from Muppet Babies were put together as votes for Gonzo. Some were counted as a pair, like Statler and Waldorf were counted as a pair. Others, however, we did make the decision to consider individually based on whether they had sort of distinct identities from each other. We would include in this Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, counted separately. Bert and Ernie, of course, counted separately. And the Fraggles of Fraggle Rock, counted individually. So I want to go around first and ask all of you to make a prediction, because I've already seen the list, but I want each of you to predict what Muppet you think got the most votes. Aisha, what do you think?
Ooh, well, I feel like it should be Miss Piggy because she is the best. but my guess is going to be on it being Kermit. It's just like he is the face of the Muppets, Jim Henson, and why not? I mean, it's like he's the Mickey Mouse of that universe. So
it's true.
I'm going with Kermit.
All right, Kermit. Glenn, what do you think?
I think that Grover is definitely at or very, very near the top. But, you know, a lot of people grew up with him, and they are now in the voting pool. He remains a breakout character on Sesame Street, and he is, you know, just adorable and endearing. I would be very dismayed if Big Bird, however, is up there, because that combination of, you know, earnestness and lack of intelligence is not cute. It's annoying, and I've always hated Big Bird.
Oh my God. Blasphemous.
Absolute blasphemy.
You are taking some bold stances out of the gate here, Glenn Weldon.
I'm bringing the negative energy to the Muppet conversation. That's what I'm doing.
All right, Stephen, who do you think is going to have the most votes?
I mean, there are many different ways you can go with this. I mean, one way you could take it is that the Muppet Show maybe doesn't necessarily have the currency with some of our audience that it does with people who are specifically my age and grew up with it, and that Sesame Street is a little bit more universal, like more of our audience will have encountered Sesame Street. So there is a part of me that thinks like one of the main Sesame Street Muppets. But I agree with Aisha. I think it's Kermit just based on some of the simple rules of crowdsourcing, where Kermit's just going to make everybody's top three or most people's top three. So I'm going to go with Kermit.
Kermit. All right. Thank you very much, Stephen. I'm not going to make a prediction because I already know the answer. We are going to get right underway. So coming in at number 10.
What was that? It's called the medium sketch.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't rare, and it certainly wasn't well done.
Solid.
Yes.
Surprised they're not higher.
So, of course, yes, Statler and Waldorf, considered as a pair, came in number 10. They sit in the balcony of The Muppet Show. They are the hecklers, or, as our producer and I were discussing earlier today, either the original bloggers or the original commenters, depending on how you want to look at it. So Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah. Also, I was surprised that none of us picked them to identify with because they are kind of the patron saint for critics.
Yes, but they're also the negative stereotype of critics that we hate everything.
That's true.
So I refuse to identify with them.
Yeah, I like too many things to really relate to Statler and Waldorf. I do think Statler and Waldorf were a great kind of entry level to sarcasm in a way that I think was very formative for a lot of people who grew up on The Muppet Show.
Yeah, and I think they served one of the same purposes that Oscar the Grouch actually served on Sesame Street, which is, you know, it's that little bit of lemon zest in a dish that kind of gives it that little tiny acid hit that makes everything more balanced. I think they are like that little tiny flourish that keeps the tone on the tracks.
Huh. So if they're the acid, who's the salt, fat, and heat?
Well, you know, it's funny that you would mention that right at this moment, Glenn. Roll the tape.
Ingers be home, diddy hoong, and I said hoo. Yay, bear, spear, horn, bear, spear, bork, bork, bork.
Bork, bork, bork. So, of course, that is the Swedish Chef. He sounds like that. Here's the funny thing about the Swedish Chef. I realized when I was an adult that I didn't really process when I was little. I thought he was so funny because he threw food around and because he had this funny voice and he sang in these funny little songs. He had this kind of incomprehensible way of talking. I didn't really process at that time how much of the joke was the real hands coming around the Muppet. It's not that I didn't know that was what it was. It's just I didn't pick up on how much that was the joke, that the person back there was trying to manipulate food in front of Swedish Chef from behind Swedish Chef. So I sort of love him additionally as an adult because I came to kind of better understand what that physical comedy came from.
Oh, I was today years old when I learned that that was the bit. I knew his hands were a real person's, but I never actually put two and two together. I feel stupid now.
No. You know, that guy actually chops celery and actually flips flapjacks. And it always terrified me when he would bring out a knife because it just seemed like an accident waiting to happen. Get OSHA involved.
Yeah. All right. Swedish Chef at number 9. Moving on to number 8. We may get some angry mail from someone's attorney. Here you go at number 8.
Call me. What? Unreliable. Call me.
Call you? What for? No money in hog calling.
You'll call this cigar breath? Hi!
So that, of course, in 8th place is Miss Piggy.
Number 8. She is going to be pissed.
I blame the woke mob. She's too controversial.
Yeah. She's going to listen to this and her eyes are going to go big like they sometimes do, which is terrifying.
And we're going to get karate chopped. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I expect some blowback from her PR team. I expect some blowback. I just want to say I would not have put her 8th. I would put her higher than 8th.
She should rank higher just because she is both the salt and the heat.
That's true. She is the salt and the heat. I'll go along with that. Plus, she is the umami in a way. All right. So on to number 7. Here we go, number 7.
Hey, waka waka. Ah, waka waka waka. Here I am, Fuzzy Bear, to tell you jokes both old and rare. Waka waka waka. Ah.
So my favorite thing about Fuzzy Bear, I must say, is that in the old Muppet Show, I love the fact that in the intro, during the song, they would cut to Fozzie to do some extremely terrible, like, vaudeville-y joke. And I love the fact that they kind of stuck to the idea that he was this cornball stand-up comedian.
When I was a kid, Fozzie was my favorite. And I think he really tapped into my own bottomless well of neediness. And I think anybody who's ever wanted to be funny can find something to love in poor, sweet, grasping Fozzie.
I think I admire him more than I enjoy him. I'm firmly on Team Statler and Waldorf when it comes to Fozzie.
All right, coming in 6th place. Roll the tape.
You haven't even looked in my soup. You looked everywhere but in my soup.
But sir, then where do you want the fly?
I don't want to fly anywhere.
Then why did you ask for a bowl of fly soup?
I didn't ask for a bowl of fly soup.
You should have asked for a bowl of soup and said, hold the flies.
That's will what you bring me another bowl of soup?
Well, that, of course, is Grover coming in 6th. Mm. they're doing the bit in which he is helping the irascible customer, trying, as always, to be helpful, trying, as always, to do his best.
In those sketches, he had a great chemistry with Charlie, the cook, who we never saw or heard from, but he had extended conversations with Charlie. He did good space work.
I love how long his arms are. They're just so long and stringy, and he moves them when he gets exasperated. It's great to see them flailing.
Yeah, I think Muppet arms are a big part of appreciating Muppets, and I think he has some of the best. He has some of the best ones. And plus, if you've never read There's a Monster at the End of This Book, then
classic.
Seriously.
Very self-possessed too, because you know he knows he's furry and lovable and cute. And he's not afraid of saying it. I like that about him.
Yep. All right. Here we go, coming in fifth.
But on the so why should they make me cry? Oh, why should they make me cry?
So that, of course, is your piano player, Ralph, sitting there playing the piano.
Not as chill as I associate normally with Ralph, but I'm glad he's up there. Top five.
Yeah. Y'all voted in Ralph in fifth place. Who did you put in fourth place? Here we go. Play the tape.
Me.
A rare star turn for the science lab assistant Beaker, who is the assistant to Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. If you watch the very first Dr. Bunsen Honeydew bit, he didn't even have Beaker with him. Then they added Beaker, but Beaker didn't talk. And the meeping was sort of developed over time until it became that
Beaker's thing.
Mm-hmm. His mouth is doing a lot of the legwork.
Yes,
here
it's true. He's got that very unusual downturned mouth.
Yeah, yep. Beaker made my short list of favorite Muppets. I love Beaker, and part of the triumph of Beaker is a triumph of Muppet design. Beaker is so particular looking in ways that have made me laugh for 40 plus years.
On to number three. Play the tape. Couldn't do better. Could not do better. The drummer for Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, Animal. Now, of course, again, not a joke. Like, I didn't fully understand how funny of a name Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem was when I was young. And it's not because of the usual, like, Sesame Street thing or kids' entertainment thing in general, where you don't get the pun or you don't get the joke, like on Mr. Rogers, how the donkey's name was Don Quixote. Uh-huh. Like, that did not, I didn't get that when I was a kid. This isn't that. It's just the flair in the name Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Like, I love that name, and I love Animal.
Yes.
The ultimate chaos Muppet.
Ultimate chaos Muppet. Kind of cilantro, but chaos Muppet, definitely.
Cilantro. By which Glenn means, better perhaps as a side dish than a main dish. You would not eat the bowl of cilantro. Mm-hmm. But capable of providing a very specific flavor. All right. We have now reached the top two.
All right.
Number two, roll the tape.
You can't do this. Why not? Well, you're a reflection. You're supposed to do just what I do. But you do ludicrous things. I do what? Ludicrous things. Of course I do. I'm an artist.
All right. In second place, polyamorous chicken liker, Gonzo the Great.
Well, everyone likes a player, so that would be...
It's true.
And I like how his high placement on this list, it's emblematic of weirdness. It means that his abiding weirdness and strangeness is appreciated, because it looks like number one is a testament to the ultimate lack of weirdness, and it's a little bit more predictable, but I'm glad to see him up this high.
Well, I think you have two different kinds of earnestness rotating around each other like a binary star. Gonzo is near and dear to my heart. I'm all for this pick. I want to say, though, people really leaned the Muppet Show heavy in this voting. Yeah. I really expected a lot more Sesame Street than we've gotten. I figured...
Big Bird.
The ubiquity of Elmo. Yeah. I know people, like, Elmo's super polarizing, but I wondered if his ubiquity would push him into the top 10. I'm surprised by how little... how little Sesame Street there has been.
Well, I'm wondering whether Bert and Ernie may have suffered from being considered separately.
Yeah. Siphoned votes off from
perhaps
each other.
If they had been joined, they might have done better. I know many people do very much love Bert and Ernie. I do myself.
I mean, Rubber Ducky.
It's true, Rubber Ducky. But we're just stalling now. Because we've reached number one. We're at number one. We've gotten to number one. It's true. We just had a Chaos Muppet.
Uh-huh.
And I would venture to say number one is an Order Muppet. Hit it.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions.
That's right. Our number one Muppet is Kermit the Frog. Newscaster, singer, vaudeville theater manager, and general man about town.
Kermit was funnier, weirder on Sesame Street in his early days. And once he got on The Muppet Show, I mean, that's what happens. You go into management, you know, you become less fun.
It's true.
Except you can't discount the fact that also he has become probably the most memeable Muppet mm-hmm. out of all of mm-hmm. them, whether it's him sipping tea or his flailing arms. Again, he's the Mickey Mouse of the Muppet universe. And it makes sense to me. And I actually... You know what? I'm pleased with this. I think he'll always have a place in my heart, even if he is kind of uptight. Also, the way his face like sometimes scrunches mm-hmm. in, I love it.
There is something about the way the puppeteer's hand is able to bend Kermit's face that mm-hmm. that really conveys such an incredible range of emotions. I mean, many Muppets contain multitudes. I would argue that Kermit contains the most multitudes. Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. And I think also we heard that little tiny bit of Rainbow Connection. And I do keep going back to the Muppet movie. But I think, you know, he has in that film this sort of melancholy that is not just being rigid or, you know, rule following or whatever, but has this, you know, this idea of trying to make his dreams come true. I think the end of that movie is very touching, actually, partly because he's been so attached to this dreaminess. So I like Kermit as a number one pick. Very good job, everybody. And I think it's safe to say that having done this, we're going to look for perhaps other things we can throw to you guys to decide, because this was really fun. And I do appreciate the work that our producer, Jessica Reedy, did to weed out answers such as
so many.
My husband.
The number of questions we got in emails that were like, does this chicken count as a separate entity from these chickens?
It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate those of you who answered with the top 10 and those of you also who didn't. We want to know, if you have not already told us, who you think is the best Muppet. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. When we come back, it's going to be time to talk about what's making us happy this week, so come right back.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Blue Moon. When you need some extra brightness, Blue Moon is here to help you break from the everyday. Blue Moon gives a refreshing take on a Belgian-style wheat ale with Valencia orange and coriander for a one-of-a-kind flavor and appearance. And try the new Blue Moon Light Sky, brewed with tangerine peel. Get them delivered at get.bluemoonbeer.com. Blue Moon. Taste brightness. Celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing. Golden, Colorado. Ale.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week. What's making us happy this week? Glenn Weldon, what's making you happy this week, buddy?
It's been almost 6 years in the making, but it's out there in the world. People can listen to it. It is A Degree Absolute. It is my podcast with friend of the show, Chris Klimek, talking about the 60s spy, absurdist, weird show, The Prisoner. It is a lot of fun talking with Chris about this extremely puzzling, often frustrating, but incredibly rewarding television program. It's out there now wherever you find your podcasts. And there's a kick-ass theme song coming, I think, in episode 4 that I'm going to say here has Agatha All Along potential.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. I appreciate that. Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week?
Well, I want to throw in a bonus recommendation since we talked so much about the Muppets. Linda Holmes wrote an essay about the Muppet movie that remains one of my favorite pieces of writing that Linda Holmes has ever done or that has ever appeared on NPR.org. Aww, it is called buddy. Rainbows, Frogs, Dogs, and the Muppet Movie Soundtrack at 40. It is a glorious piece of writing, and I highly recommend it. I also, like Glenn, want to praise and plug a podcast on which I will eventually appear, a fantastic new show on iHeartRadio, BBC World, and American Public Media combined to produce this podcast called Deeply Human. It's hosted by the great writer, rapper, singer, talker, thinker, Hamilton mixtape veteran, and all-around genius Dessa. It's a lot of analysis of like the ways that we date and think and communicate. I am on an upcoming episode that I cannot wait to hear. This podcast has been a long time coming. One of the last things I recorded when we still went to the office more than a year ago was this podcast episode that is presumably dropping soon. But I have to say, it is a wonderful show. Dessa is such a warm and funny and engaging host and just such a great thinker to spend time marinating in ideas with. Again, that podcast is called Deeply Human, and several episodes have already dropped.
All right. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Aisha Harris, what is making you happy this week?
I've spent much of the last year rewatching a lot of The Real World on various platforms, including on Paramount Plus. And they now have a new season of The Real World that is currently airing. And I know, Linda, you mentioned it in your newsletter a couple weeks ago. They have Real World Homecoming New York. So the original cast, the first season of The Real World, they have all, for the most part, returned to live in the same exact loft that they did almost 30 years ago. What's making me happy most about this show is the fact that Julie, who you may remember, she was the youngest cast member of the house. She was only a teenager. She was from the South. She had, you know, there were a lot of stereotypes you could probably throw on her. She has a very thick Southern accent. But she has, I think, grown probably the most out of all of them. And there is the most, a recent episode where there is a confrontation between Becky and Kevin. And you may remember, if you've seen the original show, they had a really heated back and forth about race and gender and what that meant to them at that point in time. And Becky, 30 years later, has not really changed much. But Julie has, and she has evolved. And so seeing this dichotomy and seeing these the way in which many of the cast members have changed, but Julie probably the most out of all of them, just makes me really heartened. And it's good to know that people do change and evolve on these types of subjects. So Real World Homecoming, it's airing on Paramount Plus. Highly recommend it if you want a heavy dose of nostalgia.
Thank you very much, Aisha Harris. Well, like Aisha, I am going to recommend something that I am not part of. It is a series that is available on Apple TV Plus. It's called Calls. And I had not heard very much about this at all, but it's essentially, if you think of an audio drama augmented with very sparse graphics. So if you imagine what a video trailer for a podcast might look like, that if it was phone calls, you might get like the little wavy line for the sound wave or whatever. You know, you might get the little dots representing the people floating through a big open space as they were talking. Like, it's that kind of stuff. It's a kind of a sci-fi mystery deal. I don't want to say too much about what's happening in it. But I was really surprised how much I liked it. It is based on a French series. It has a lot of famous people in it. It has Lily Collins, Pedro Pascal, big kind of sprawling cast. And I really liked it. And I actually felt like it was a very interesting experiment in, you know, if you had a thing that was like an audio drama, but the visuals just help do just enough signposting that you don't have to constantly remind people who's talking because they can follow the little dot back and forth. And you don't have to constantly kind of try to represent everything through the audio. I think it's a really interesting experiment. And I recommend checking it out if you have Apple TV Plus. Again, it's called Calls. And that is what is making me happy this week. If you want links for what we recommended, plus some more recommendations that are exclusive to our newsletter, it's my baby. Subscribe to that newsletter. newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. That brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Steven at I Dislike Steven. Glenn is at G.H. Weldon, and Aisha is at Crafting My Style. You can find our editor, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy. Our producer, Candace Lim, is at TheCandaceLim. Our producer, Mallory Yu, is at Mallory_Yu. And producer Mike Katziff is, as always, at Mike Katziff, KATZIF. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. Thanks to all of you for being here on Muppet Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all right back here next week.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here. Join us for the How I Built This Summit at Home. We'll have interviews with some of the best-known entrepreneurs out there. Thank you to Dell Technologies, a supporting sponsor of the How I Built This Summit. For more information, head to summit.npr.org.